marking a free trade anniversary with an ongoing fight over the border wall. From Marketplace in Washington, D.C., I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. The partial government shutdown continues into this new year, with hundreds of thousands of federal employees unsure when they'll go back to work. The fight over border security, or a wall, or fencing, ties back to President Trump's campaign promises. Another promise he made on the campaign trail, repealing NAFTA. Today marks 25 years since the North American Free Trade Agreement went into effect, and NAFTA's three member countries, Canada, the United States, and Mexico, have reached a tentative deal to replace the original agreement. The controversy around NAFTA is nothing new. The trade deal had lots of critics when it was enacted, and that's partly because it was historic. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
We're going to set aside Canada for now. Even back in the 90s, when NAFTA went into effect, the controversy was about Mexico. NAFTA was the first major trade agreement between a wealthy country like the U.S. and a poorer, developing country like Mexico. Edward Alden is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
Previous trade agreements had largely been among advanced economies, and it raised an entirely different set of issues, namely, would business and industry flow to Mexico to chase the much lower wages?
Some of that did happen. But Mary Lovely, an economics professor at Syracuse University, says NAFTA also helped U.S. manufacturers who could make parts more cheaply in Mexico.
The ability to produce certain components in Mexico close by has enabled American manufacturers to compete successfully with Asian firms and European firms.
At 25, NAFTA may not be around for much longer, but the new tentative trade deal looks pretty similar. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Markets are closed today for the holiday, but let's do the numbers anyway. 2018 edition. U.S. markets had a good day yesterday to close out the year, but it was a pretty bad year for the markets. In fact, Wall Street had its worst year since 2008. The S&P closed down 6.2% for 2018, the first time that index has dropped year over year since the financial crisis. The Dow ended down 5.6%, and the Nasdaq was down 3.9%. Bonds actually did go up for the year. The yield on the 10-year T-note started off at 2.41% and ended the year at 2.68%. And 2018 was also a year of devastating fires in the American West. Last year, those fires burned down more than 300 homes in Malibu, one of the wealthiest cities in California. Many of those homeowners employed gardeners and housekeepers who are now out of work. KPCC's Emily Elena Dugdale explains how the local community is stepping in to help these workers.
This is the Malibu Community Labor Exchange, a gray trailer draped with flags parked just off the Pacific Coast Highway, where day workers connect with locals who need help with the job. Around 7 a.m., Director Oscar Mondragon pulls names out of a jar to decide who will work that day and what they'll do.
Okay, Guadalupe.
There are more names in that jar than jobs. Mondragon says it's too early to tell how many workers were affected by the recent fires, but he's been inundated with calls asking for help. The Woolsey Fire burned down hundreds of homes, including the one housekeeper Olinda Galindo used to clean. Galindo sends money back to Mexico to support her family, but now she's having a hard time finding work.
It's really difficult, not just for them, the homeowners, but also for us.
A model for how to help could be 30 miles away in Oxnard, California. Genevieve Flores Aro is the director of the Mixteco Indígena Community Organizing Project. After a huge fire last year, she raised over $2 million from private donors and foundations to start a fund that gives small grants to workers affected by the fires, and not just for lost wages.
It's also, if schools are closed, it's childcare costs incurred. If the child gets a free lunch or free breakfast, it's also additional groceries.
The program helped about 900 workers. The average check was about $1,600. Flores Aro says the program is critical because many workers are undocumented and can't access federal disaster programs like FEMA or open a bank account, which makes getting quick cash a problem. Back at the Malibu Labor Exchange, the workers sometimes come from miles away. They'll wait here all day, and if their name is picked from that jar, the next step is to meet their employer.
And when they get there, they talk about wages, and they're going to get paid directly at the end of the day.
On average, he says workers are getting paid $15 to $20 an hour. In Los Angeles, I'm Emily Elena Dugdale for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
One industry that did particularly well this holiday season, to the surprise of many, is the book printing business. Ebooks have declined in popularity in recent years. Their sales peaked in 2013, but dropped nearly 30% at the end of last year. Meanwhile, purchases of print books have steadily gone up, increasing 10% over the same period. That left an industry scrambling to supply holiday orders. Marketplace's Lila Goldstein reports.
In the wake of the financial crisis and the rise of the e-reader, book printing companies went out of business. Even large companies that survived shuttered plants dedicated to book manufacturing. But then a strange thing happened.
On the way to the funeral of the book, it actually didn't die.
Jim Featherson is the president of the Book Manufacturers Institute and runs a book printing company in Wisconsin. As physical book sales have picked up, he says the industry is seeing more demand than it can supply. For the first time in a decade.
We've been working pretty much 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We've got a pretty tired workforce. They've been working very hard this fall.
He estimates his company turned down several million dollars in orders this holiday season. Patrick Henderson is with the commercial printing company Quad Graphics.
We've actually had to use presses that are not traditionally used for book manufacturing.
Henderson says it's taking a lot of overtime and a bit of hustle to make sure popular titles don't go out of stock. I'm Lila Goldstein for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.